Hawaii Island has a long equestrian tradition with its sprawling ranch land and its still thriving Paniolo culture. It's one that Dr. Billy Bergen, veterinarian, is in a unique position to describe as the founder of the island's first private large animal veterinary hospital and Parker Ranch's chief veterinarian for more than 20 years. His passion has led him to craft a comprehensive work of history called The Hawaiian Horse, written with his son. He's on the line with us now. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning.
This has really been your life. It's high time it became a book of this size, yeah?
Yes.
It's kind of the work of your life as a veterinarian. But what made you want to delve into the history as much as you have?
Well, I have developed a series of four volumes on the history of Parker Ranch, three of which are already published. And the final volume will be out in 2020. But in the process of doing that, I had to go ahead and research the role of the horse really in the broad perspective, because Parker Ranch had so much to do with the improving of horses, mules, and donkey resources throughout the Hawaiian Islands. Mm-hmm. They were a resource. So I kind of had a leg up on early research. But when we looked at the span of 1803 when they arrived to the present day, so much has happened in the horse world. And that's when my son, Dr. Brady Bergen, became engaged as a co-author because of the very meteoric advances in horse care. So with that, I was inspired really by Patrick Ching, the artist, who wanted to co-author a book with me on horse life in the islands. And his approach would have been artful, whereas Brady and I tend to do more definitive history. Mm-hmm. And we went ahead and proceeded. It took us about 7 or 8 years, and the book is out, and we're very happy. And, of course, we always thank Patrick Ching for his foresight in suggesting it.
What kind of research was involved?
A lot of it had to do with old records of our department, the Bureau of Animal Industry and Forestry, that was started in 1906, mm-hmm. because our government then already began to be concerned with import and export regulations to control disease. So they regulated the stallions and mares and the breeding, the Kentucky Jacks that came here to expand the mule population. So everything there was very well documented and fortunately came with a lot of photographs.
As you said, this all dates from 1803. Where did you gather material for those early decades?
A lot of that had to do with several authors, and interesting that your previous guest mentioned Isabella Bird.
Yeah.
But we quote her quite often on her observations of horses in the Hawaiian Islands, not just on Oahu. Mm-hmm. But it was with a lot of people that wrote that had to do with our royalty of the Royal Hawaiian families, who enjoyed horse activities very, very much. And with that, naturally, came a lot of recorded history and, of course, photographs of what those horses were able to do to really elevate the stature of all Hawaiian people. Now you're a mounted cowboy and not working afoot.
Yeah.
Now you're a mounted king and queen, and you can really go ahead and parlay that elevated presence into one that's so becoming of our Hawaiian royalty.
Yeah, and you kind of allude to the role of the horse in just about anyone's history, don't you? That whole idea of elevating the elevated, as it were.
Yeah, and of course, what we have to do is we moved into modern-day Hawaii as well as the mainland, discuss overpopulation, and how the Mustang overpopulation of the mainland has become a very, very expensive and serious problem. And it really began to happen here in the islands in the 1930s, when two bands of wild horses were really becoming overpopulated on Mauna Kea, mm-hmm. as well as down in the valley, such as Waipio and Waimanu. And then if we fast-forwarded to the presence, it was Brady's work with helping the community of Waikoloa that had taken 30 given donkeys in 1970 that expanded to about 600 donkeys in by the turn of the century into the new millennium. And they were into the schoolyards, they were on the roads and people's backyards. And that was an opportunity to go ahead and depopulate with a very humane understatement in that they were homed. Homes were found for them as they were captured and gentled and, of course, naturally vaccinated and neutered to go to homes. So that is a good example nationally for how you really, there are means in which you can go ahead and depopulate without having to use very severe means.
That's an example. That'd be really helpful to have that taken up nationally. When did the Vaquero influence begin?
They came in 1932. Some reports are 33. This marked a very dramatic change in Hawaii's livestock population, because now those afoot cattle tenders that were dealing with wild cattle, hordes of wild cattle, could now be mounted. And the real advantage of having Mexican mentors is the Mexicans brought a saddle horn, a saddle with a dally horn on it, as well as a lariat. So now that mounted cowboy could apprehend those wild cattle and not having to bring them down with dogs or shooting them. So they could be captured and gentled and turned into productive cattle or sent to market.
You said 1932. Did you mean 1832?
I'm sorry. Yes, 1832.
And the influence was pervasive from that time on, yeah?
Very, very much so. And naturally, the Mexican teacher, the Mexican cowboy that had to teach, as he was ordered to do by the king, had very, very gifted students that had a leg up on cowboy life. Mm-hmm. They already knew how to braid sennit for courting. So certainly they could braid rawhide for their lariats and for their bridles and for their reins. They were carvers of calabashes and canoes, so they could readily carve wood into saddle trees. And I would suspect that it didn't take but about 2 or 3 years before that native Hawaiian community was very, very adept at cowboy life. And I say men and women both were active that way.
I suspect you're right. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Yes, and so good to talk to you, and I really appreciate the phone call. And I'll pass on to Brady our gratitude.
Please do,
for you folks at HPR.
Thanks. Dr. Billy Bergen is the co-author with Dr. Brady Bergen, his son, of The Hawaiian Horse from the University of Hawaii Press.